Radio Influence, podcasting redefined.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the silent drums. Oh, wait. Yes.
What? Can you say, oh, wait, yes, at the end of the show, too?
I'm going to have to. I was wondering where the position of the vowel was, and I remember that was the appropriate position for the drums thing. But they're silent drums now, Tracy.
Why?
Because I have just constructed, from all the spare pieces and drum shells that I had from past kits over the years, I've just been able to construct a four-piece drum set in my basement at home that has all of these very silent mesh heads on them. So now I'm able to actually do some really realistic work on my technique at home without playing on practice pads, and it can actually mimic a real set now. And I don't bother anybody because it's not going to make booming reverberations throughout the house.
Wait a second. So they actually have silent drum kits that you practice on?
Well, it's a real kit. I mean, I use pieces of old Tama kits and old Ludwig kits, but it's the skins, Tracy. They instead of the hide or anything else that you actually use, it's almost like a mesh. So when you hit it, it's a little light thud, whatever, but there's no boom, there's no reverberation, and it pretty much mutes the entire kit. So I did that from the kick drum on up, and silent cymbals as well. They are metal cymbals, but they have thousands of little holes drilled into them, so they pretty much just come out sounding like little tiny splash cymbals instead of big crashes and rides and chinas and all that stuff. So for anybody out there who has kids that want to play drums and you don't want to destroy the sanctity of your home, because I know how that is, you can get them to modify the kit so it's silent.
Wow. Yeah, I learned something new. Okay, on the silent drums, off we go. Listen, I'm going to put a disclaimer out there right now in the beginning of this monstrosity we're about to do. I woke up this morning, my alarm went off, I opened up my eyes. I was up really late last night working on a bunch of stuff. And I woke up, I opened up my eyes, and I usually wake up at like 5:36 in the morning and get started. But today, for some reason, I said, you know what, I'm going to give myself another half hour of sleep. And then I open up my eyes again and it was 9 o'clock.
Oh my God.
You know, it's bad. It starts your whole day off in a very weird way. You kind of roll out of bed frantically. Like, I got a phone call the second I open up my eyes, and then I had another phone call not even that much further after that. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to line up the clips that I wanted to use today. So just bear with me for one day. I overslept, boss.
Well, at 9 o'clock, I was on my way to the post office to pick up some package that I had not been home to sign for. And what was it? It was two letters from the IRS, of course.
It wasn't a possum?
No, it wasn't. It was two letters from the IRS just giving me my updated balance for my taxes owed. Oh, this is just life.
See, so
now,
your day was a lot worse than mine.
Well, it's a big letdown. You think you're getting a letter from somebody, and it's just the government saying, hey, you owe us for your labor that you did.
We have a few things to talk about today. Some new, if you want to even call them, developments in the Epstein case. I don't even know if you could call them developments. I don't even know if they're true. and then Veritas just dropped their Google stuff. We'll start there. How's that?
Yes.
So Project Veritas has a Google insider that they've been working with who just dropped and provided, like, Sarah Carter came out with an article last night about this guy saying basically that he provided a laptop and about 1,000 pages of documents to the FBI about Google and what they're doing to tamper with search results and the election and, you know, all that stuff. And Project Veritas released these things for the public as well. So I have gotten them all. I'm looking through them. I have, obviously, they just came out at 10 o'clock, so I haven't been able to get through much because we are on the show. But it's real stuff from, like, inside of their research rooms and working rooms and all that stuff. I'll play a clip from this dude real quick. The Veritas video that they just released today. Just a clip of it, because I haven't gotten to watch it yet either. This is the way things are going to go today for me.
I'm rooting for you, and everybody else is rooting for you too.
I'm going to need the help. I really feel out of sorts. Here, hold on.
You were, when you sat down with me last time on the story that we released on June 24th, you were disguised. You were in the shadows. Right now, there's no disguise.
I felt that our entire election system was going to be compromised forever by this company that told the American public that it was not going to do any evil. This is the best thing that I can do in the situation that I'm currently at. And the thing is that the American public needs to understand what's happening. I'm going to, publish this information so that other people can see the system that Google has built in order to control the entire information landscape. This is something that once people see, it's going to bring, it doesn't matter whether you're left or whether you're right. When you see this, both sides are going to agree that this is wrong. So my message to those that are on the fence is I've released the documents. They can go and they can see everything that Google is doing. And then they can see the scale of it. Because I think that there's a lot of engineers that have a hint that things are wrong, but they don't understand the colossal scale that it's at. And so for those people, I say, look at the documents. Like take the pulse of Americans, see what's happening. And come and tell the world, what you already know to be true. And I know that people have been waiting for, this Google Snowden moment where somebody comes out and explains what everybody already knows to be true. And I'm hoping that those that want to do something are going to be compelled to act, and that we together can come together and defend ourselves in the case of litigation. They can stop like one or two of us, but they can't stop all of us coming out and explaining to the American public that this is what's happening, that Google is not who they say they are.
I got to be honest with you. I just opened up a document and I'm sick to my stomach as I was listening to this.
What'd you see as you opened it up?
This is absolutely disgusting. Google is supposed to be, let me just put this out there before I tell you what I just read. God in heaven.
Oh my God.
Google is supposed... I love you. Google is supposed to be a search engine. They're supposed to spit back out at you. It's really very simple. You ask for something, it returns results. It's a search engine, right?
Yeah.
You ask Google, I'd like to see articles about the sun. I'd like to see articles about the moon. What color is the moon? What color is, what kind of couch is best for this space? What chair should I get? What's the best this? You know what I mean? You ask it for results. It looks, from a programming perspective, logically, it should look at what you ask for and return the results you ask for. Here's some keywords. Here's our catalog of all the millions and billions of websites out there available, right?
You're going to be a hero. It's going to be...
Here's your results. That's it. Here I open the censorship folder, and I'm blessed with first some stuff that we already knew about in terms of Breitbart and how they should be deranked and all that stuff. And then a bunch of photos about how InfoWars shouldn't be kicked back in a result at all because they're not verified, news people. They're not a good source of information on anything. It's not your job to decide who is a good source of anything. It's your job to spit results back at us. So obviously, if they control the results they spit back, they control the public sentiment, right? Now we know all this. But what's in here is a YouTube controversial query blacklist. Meaning, if you search for these things, it's not going to return what you want. And it is, I don't know here. Let's see. 40 pages long. And some of the terms on here will make your skin crawl. Google doesn't want you to see anything about Stephen Paddock. Google doesn't want you to see anti-Trump stuff about Paddock. Google doesn't want you to see anything about the attack in Las Vegas.
This is all in there?
Yeah. Let me read off some of the terms that they're saying they're basically censoring the results to, that are fringe queries, controversial fringe queries. It says the queries in this file will force the controversial twiddler to be triggered. And then a program runs to filter the results you get from what should actually be returned to probably nothing that you asked for. You want to read some?
I would definitely like to read it. This is going to be definitely something I would like to talk about on my own show tonight too.
I'm
going to
go through some of this stuff.
Hey, just keep going.
I just opened this folder and I'm like, holy. Okay, 64 old Stephen Paddock, 64 Stephen Paddock, 64 Stephen Paddock, different spellings. About Stephen Paddock, address Trump, Las Vegas, anti-Trump Paddock, anti-Trump Stephen Paddock, anti-Trump Vegas, attack Las Vegas, October 2017 hoax, attack in Las Vegas gunman, attack in Las Vegas
and
live
these are,
news.
These are suppressed terms?
Yeah.
My God.
Fake Las Vegas attack, fake Las Vegas shooting, fake news in Las Vegas, girlfriend of Paddock, gunman in Las Vegas, gun used by Stephen Paddock. I'm just skipping through. There's tons of them.
50 pounds of explosives in the car.
Las Vegas attack gun, Las Vegas fake news, Las Vegas Trump, Las Vegas anti-Trump. Las Vegas attacks hoax, Las Vegas false flag, Las Vegas girlfriend. Hold on. It's all like a God, Jesus, all of these are Vegas related, all of them. Paddock anti-Trump. Like, they don't want anyone to know that Paddock wasn't a Trump person, because if they do, then, you know what happens, you know? Hold on. Steven...
Yeah, so get past the Vegas. Obviously, they're very thorough with Vegas.
Holy moly, you should see the list of these things. Stephen Paddock Democrat. Stephen Paddock Facebook. Stephen Paddock girlfriend. Stephen Paddock associated with the left.
Go beyond Vegas now. What else is there?
We have New York attacks now. New York City shooting today. New York City truck. New York City truck attack. New York City truck incident. Refugee New York City shooting, immigrant New York City attack, Muslim New York City attack.
That was the Halloween. That was the Halloween event.
Got to imagine that was the one with the bomb that was thwarted, I would assume. Okay. Live Texas shooting news, live YouTube shooter in Texas. Sutherland church shooting, Sutherland gunman, Sutherland incident. These are benign search terms. Who was shooter in Texas? Rancho Tehama? Tehama shooting live. California shooting, elementary school shooting, elementary school shooter. Hold on, I'm going. This is really Kevin Jansen Neal, Kevin Dale Martin, Kevin Neal, Kevin Martin, Mike Kronk interview.
Let me just say, it doesn't even matter at this. It doesn't even matter what the apparent slant of any of these codings really are. The fact that this is a search engine that is making any kind of impact on what bounces back from their engine.
Yeah, based on what they consider to be fringe. Which is literally everything.
It's not fringe when you see 24/7 coverage of a mass shooting in Vegas or a shooting at a church. It's not. It actually happened. So people are looking for things that are happening or happened. And so why would anything be touched at all?
Listen to this one. David Hogg can't remember his lines.
Wow. Wow.
It's just a whole bunch in here.
Well, I mean, I hope this is this exactly what he was saying that is going to wake people up, no matter what their political alliance is, or is there more goings on that are being covered in this?
Well, there's a lot in here. This is just the censorship folder. There's a stuff on InfoWars in here in the censorship folder. Hateful content. This is gross. This is just gross. Hold on. There's other folders. So the other folders are censorship. It's election tampering, fake news, hiring practices, leadership training, machine learning, fairness, miscellaneous and video, partisanship, and psychological research. Those are the folders in this dump.
Go to psychological research.
Psychological research. There's a paper in here that says, oh, I can't open the PDF. That's weird. Hold on. Here we go. Oh, it won't open this one for some reason. It says algorithmic discrimination from an... Oh my gosh, hold on. I got to scroll over. It's a long title. Algorithmic discrimination from an environmental... Real time, guys. Psychology perspective. Stress-inducing differential treatment. Why does Google have that? My curiosity.
Because they are leading the charge in trauma-based mind control for the entire country on a very, very secretive psychological warfare level. That's exactly what's going on here. They all know it. They know. They know everybody. They have figured out the ins and outs of group dynamics for a very long time, even before the internet. Now that they have such a wide, invisible net that they can cast on tens of millions of people, you don't think that this is going to be done covertly? Think about the opinions that they have assigned to people just by meddling with all the suggested terms and headlines that pop up in the periphery during your searches. Well, I mean, we're just absorbing things subconsciously.
There's a folder here on fake news, and the mission is less fringy search. Fringe ranking, not showing fake news, hate speech, conspiracy theories, or science medical history denial unless we're sure that's what the user wants. So how the hell do you, if I type in, do vaccines cause autism, what do you think I want to see? Do you think I want to see all, we knew this was happening, but these documents are freaking devastating to Google. Because it's not your job to tell me what you think I want to see, Google. It's your job as a company to spit me back out the results that I want to see. And now that they're a monopoly, they get to control the psyche of the entire world. This is devastating to them. I really can't wait to, once I get in here and this was like a real time go through, but kudos to the people stepping up with this nonsense. Because why are they including resumes in here? Oh, she's done a lot of stuff here at Google.
You know, it's one of those that you ask it a question. And like you said before, I don't know where to go. What I usually do is I go to Twitter and particular people. I ask friends who I know specialize in different things. I go to history and I keep my eyes open on message boards, and I watch how people are conversing and what they throw at each other. Because usually I think that's the other thing. People are starting to be wise about making their own news archives. I mean, I have a very, very vast archive that I'm building, all broken into categories of news, whether it be immigration in the U.S., migrant and immigration crisis in the EU, everything. I have everything broken down into categories because you miss it. And if you go and you ask any of these search engines a question, you're not even going to find anything that you can trust.
Yeah.
As a source alone. Like I don't even look at the headlines. When I ask Google a question, I look at the sources that it's coming from. If I see NBC, CBS, ABC, Politico, if I see Snopes or PolitiFact or anything like that, I keep scrolling. Sometimes I don't find anything that I would even think about clicking until page 15.
Yeah, because... You know, like this happened to YouTube. I was talking about it yesterday, to be honest. I did a whole big thing yesterday on what you're talking about, right? It wasn't yesterday, it was the day before. On what you're talking about right now. How we cannot trust a damn thing that we hear on what used to be the news, right? Everybody's realizing it now. We can't get a straight story on the biggest suicide in the history of God knows when, right? Who knows what's going on with Epstein? Nobody really knows. Even the media doesn't know, and they're not doing a job to find out. So... I did this whole big thing on it. And then I talked about how if you go to YouTube and you search Tracy Beans and a topic, what comes back at you in your search? You know what it is? It's NBC, Fox, CNN, ABC. YouTube was formed for like regular everyday people like me and you to share our content. If I wanted a cable news network carousel, I would have kept my television subscription. You can't even get... results anymore from actual people talking about things. They just spit out the legacy media. It's sick.
Oh, I typed in Tracy Beans, Seth Rich, and top two is references to Dark to Light.
Really?
Yeah, but the third one is The Daily Beast.
Oh, yeah.
From July of this year, the Ultimate Fringe Trump World Conference.
What was that?
Talking
American
about
Priority?
No, Dale, I don't know, but they're you're mentioned in there, and then everything else, nothing. There's NPR, disinformation, and the murder of Seth Rich. Yeah, stuff like that. Oh, whatever. I can't wait to read through this. This is as if we needed validation.
No, but I know, but like, you know, there's a doc in here showing how they integrate with Twitter, because Twitter is where breaking news happens unfiltered, right? When something goes down, a shooting or whatever, everybody gets on Twitter and tweets about it. That's why I tell people, as much as you hate Twitter, you find everything out on Twitter first. And Twitter isn't as good about suppression in real time as Google is. So usually what happens on Twitter is pretty organic. Not that it's organic, but like, you know, if something crazy happens on Twitter and I tweet it, it's going to go viral. You know what I'm saying?
Twitter's good for breaking news,
right?
Because once a trend starts forming, that's when you'll see some suppressive tactics being used.
Yeah, they catch it, but they're slow.
Right, but they actually allow it some breathing room to develop and take root at first.
Yeah, because that's how the algorithms work in Twitter. That's the whole purpose of Twitter. So like, they can't re-engineer their purpose. That's like the whole reason Twitter exists, is to trend and, you know, group thoughts together and all that noise. So here they're saying Twitter is a great source of news. Let's trigger on this. Let's trigger a search engine response based on this number of tweets about this topic. So like, Google will crawl Twitter for common words being used in people's tweets to detect breaking news and then return search results based on that. So it's all hand in hand. They don't work. They don't, like, I don't think that they are in a business relationship with Twitter that we can see right now, but they're obviously using Twitter to figure out what they should be returning in search results.
Mm-hmm.
So you can understand then why, if they have algorithmic flags up for anything that says Trump or anything that's anti-left, and they're crawling Twitter for their results on those things, how it all goes hand in hand. It's freaking sick. It's sick. And through all of that, Frank, they still weren't able to do it right. God, can you think? Imagine, look at what we're up against. And people may think we're losing, but we're not. With all of the shit thrown in our face that we're up against, look at how good we're doing. Can you imagine if we didn't have this nonsense? Like, could you imagine if the news told the truth for 1 week, 1 day?
Oh, yeah. I often bring up Drudge Report. I often bring up Drudge Report because that was supposed to be some kind of a unbiased to slightly center right aggregator of news. I mean, you go to CBS or CNN or MSNBC sites and you see what's posted. You know what you're going to get there, but this is supposed to be whatever. And what do you get? What do you get is every day blood red text about we're going, the economy is going down. People are not taking vacations anymore. Trump is hurting the farmers. But Elizabeth Warren is wowing in Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, let's go there right now. Let's see what's going on Drudge. We'll do our daily Drudge Report breakdown, Frank. Go for it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here. First one, yields flash recession warning. Stocks dive. Banks are hammered. Greenspan says no barrier to treasuries falling below 0%. 30-year yield record low. And then, of course, they get into how with China, how Trump blinks again. He balks. He balks and he bends over to China. So everything is about screwing with the perception of really how things are being managed in the financial sense, because there is no more Russia. There is no more anything except recession, the hopes of a recession, and racism. Because even with Epstein, I'm telling you, even with Epstein right now, the only reason why people in the media are still pretending to be concerned is because the case has only gone as far as the narrative being rich, powerful men and young girls. It is only as far as the media is willing to go with this narrative for now. And because he's been killed, that is where it has stalled out. So everything is about economic doom and gloom is coming our way. And of course, racism is rampant. And that's it. That is all that we're being sold. Meanwhile, I don't know about you. I mean, you've already been to a rally this year. I'm looking at just – I don't watch really a lot of the rallies at all. But I do check up on, you know, what did the crowd sound like? How did things feel like? And it's even more – it's even more of an energetic surge that I saw in 2016, especially since 2016, Trump is now a known quantity. And people have learned so much more about the nature of media, about the nature of the Democrat Party, about how devoid of any kind of logic their platform is, how racist they actually are, what they have done to keep the crisis at the border and crises elsewhere intact instead of actually sitting down to try to fix it. I mean, there's been so much revealed to people over the last 3 years, and it's showing in these rallies, the types of people who are coming out there having a good time. Meanwhile, Beto O'Rourke is pretending to know how to change a tire, and nobody else.
Kamala Harris is eating pork chops.
Kamala Harris was pulling balls at an elderly bingo game.
Look.
You think that she wanted to be pulling balls at a bingo game?
No, but do you want to know, did you see the tweet I made about that, though?
What?
I said, you know, she's here with the seniors because, you know, outwardly you'd think she wants to look sympathetic to seniors, right? But that's not why she's doing that. There's a reason she's with the older folks, and it isn't because she cares about them, even though she got completely schooled by that one woman.
I saw that.
Which was freaking great. And she's like, yes, honey, like talking to her all condescending. So she pulls out her bingo ball, which I'll show you. We'll play it. We might as well play her, right?
Fine. But
why not?
Why not?
Here we go.
N40. N40.
Do you know where most of the voter fraud occurs?
Where?
With the elderly.
Hmm.
Here's why. They have aides with them that vote for them. They fill out their absentee ballots for them, right? And when an aide decides that they're going to influence the decision of their elderly counterpart, it's against the law. But it happens in every nursing home, everywhere. And you know how many people there are that, you know how many of them there are?
How many?
I don't know. You know, just think about how many elderly people are in nursing homes. How many votes do you think that is per state?
I should actually see.
Yeah. Check it out.
So 1.3 million elderly Americans living in nursing homes. 70% rely on Medicaid to pay bills, an average $83,000 a year.
Okay. So if all of a sudden Kamala Harris starts winning the elderly vote, what are they going to do? She was there in nursing homes playing bingo with the elderly.
So it's a really pathetic thing, though. I like you said before, she's hovering over that one woman, and the woman is telling her, you know, the white haired old lady,
how are we
saying,
pay for it?
leave the healthcare alone, just leave it alone, and she's just like, everything's gonna be fine. We want to take care of everybody. Like you're talking to a 5 year old.
Yeah.
And then she goes and pulls bingo ball. What a pathetic wench.
Not only that, but the day before, like you mentioned, she's eating a pork chop, right? She sees her bus. She's like, oh, look at my bus. Then she sees she's eating a pork chop. And then right after that, she tweets Muslim. She tweets support for Muslims.
Yeah. Support for Muslims. She was probably still sucking the meat off the bone while she was tweeting it.
I'm like, you can't get more tone deaf than this. You can't pander to anybody, Kamala Harris. You're lucky that I swear, she's horrible. Now we've got Cory Booker just came out, like literally saying red flag laws aren't enough. We need to come confiscate people's guns.
Talk like that is what I would report somebody as a red flag about.
Yeah.
I say, there's a red flag. This guy wants to come steal my shit. This guy just said he wants to go and raise a gang, wants to go raise a heavily armed gang to go house to house and steal my shit. I think that's a red flag.
I would be red flagged about that, too. And you know what I found interesting? I found interesting that Trump tweeted saying, would Chris Cuomo be red flagged for his reaction to the Frito thing? Mm. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I did it last night on the show.
I'm just wondering, like, does that mean that what everybody's saying, like, calm down, Tracy. Trump's not going to do anything with red flag. It's all a play. Does that mean he really means that? Or are we looking at Crenshaw coming riding in on his supposed white horse with red flag laws?
I don't know. Is this something that would really pass the House and the Senate?
I think it would if we didn't make noise about it. If Trump does something with red flag or gun, any kind of gun legislation, it's going to be a serious problem for me. Serious.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm not going to just throw aside and say, we have to support him. No, sorry, no. I think there's a lot of people that are just like me out there, too. He better watch, because nobody wants this. We don't want it. Don't pander. Because you know what's going to happen? Chuck Schumer is saying that he now wants Donald Trump to give $5 billion of whatever, or million, I'm not sure, it's $5 billion of whatever wall funding he got to combat white supremacy and gun violence.
Yeah, you know what? I was going to say something that would have got me red flagged.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. But basically, I said, this is just political. Like, Trump's obviously not going to give up border funding to stop white supremacy. And then when he doesn't do that, the left is going to say he supports white supremacy. He doesn't want to fund stopping white supremacy.
No, this, you know what, Tracy, what this comes down to, if he's trying to, first of all, catering and flirting with red flag laws and anything like that, if he's talking about this from really trying to win over people, he's wrong. Number one, you're not going to win anybody over. You're going to lose people by doing this. That's number one. Number two, with people like Chuck Schumer, this man should not have a leg to stand on at this point. This entire party should not have a leg to stand on at this point. Why hasn't he been destroyed? Why hasn't this party been destroyed yet? I'm getting very, very upset, very frustrated by this stuff. Even when it comes to just this particular situation with guns. I mean, when you hear that the Dayton shooter was threatening to murder and rape his classmates and he was expelled, but the school let him come back. And that the El Paso shooter's mom called the police weeks before trying to warn them, but everyone is still blaming the guns.
Yep.
That still, from the get-go, even for the president talking about about background checks still. What are you talking? For all the reporting mechanisms that have been put in place already, how many shooters have slipped through the hands of federal authorities and local authorities who have just shirked their responsibilities? How many?
God only knows. And this is the only thing that they're there for. Like, these rules exist already.
That's why I'm telling you. I've said it on my show, and I'm unapologetic for saying it. Even lip service to something, you can say, well, it's part of Trump's strategy to do. Lip service is a negative. We need people to stand on principle from the get-go on this stuff from now on. You can't, if you pay it lip service, you are still playing by their rules. You are playing on their premise.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yes, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is expected to ask Trump to redirect $5 billion in border wall funding towards initiatives that combat gun violence and white supremacist extremism.
He should slip a thumb up his ass and go home.
And at the same time as Tucker Carlson is on vacation from Fox because of what we played on the show the other day?
What happened?
Remember, we played on the show the comments about how white supremacism doesn't, like, the KKK is not even, like, there's a few hundred people in it. All over the country, they could barely fill a football stadium. He's suspended.
He got suspended?
Yes. He's been off air for the whole week.
Wow. Wow.
And everyone's saying, if he doesn't come back, like, I'm telling you right now, people are done. They're done with this bull. They're done with it. It's ridiculous. Like, there's going to be a breaking point, Frank. I don't want it to be, you know, it's just going to happen. There's going to be a breaking point for people. This is getting out of hand now. If Epstein taught us anything or is teaching us anything, which it sure is, it's that the trust in the fourth estate or the people that used to be where we looked forward to truth doesn't work anymore on either side. It proves that the left has no trust in them as much as the right does, because both sides are questioning this nonsense with the same fervor. That's why this is like a paradigm shifter, to be honest. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They like the pandering that they do, like the left as the extreme left, not like the normal everyday American per se, but the people who are as invested in this as we are, but on the opposite side of the spectrum. They like being pandered to and getting a pat on the back from all of these institutions saying Trump is bad, this and that, blah, blah, blah. They know it's bull. The reporters reporting it know it's bull. It's like we're in some Truman world where all of a sudden now people are starting to see that there's actually a wall there. And they're breaking through it. What's going to be on the other side? We are. We're going to be on the other side. Hey, guys, we've been here for a while waiting for you.
Listen, we're moving in a direction no matter. In 4 years.
Yep.
Let's say 2020, Donald Trump takes the election. Like, I would imagine, unless there's a major fix in. But there's less of infrastructure there than it was in 2016 to fix an election. So I don't know how it could happen. They couldn't do it in 2016 when much more of the infrastructure was already in place.
Especially in terms of people willing to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, if you're talking about screwing with all of your in-state elections to try to take away House seats from a traditionally Republican held districts in California or something like that, it's your state. But on a general election, when you only have to win 51% in each state to for all of those electoral college votes to go in one place, it doesn't matter how much of a crushing majority you can accumulate in California. It's not going to translate anywhere else when it comes to the presidency. So,
and that's why they're just trying to take the votes away with their changing of their laws. That's exactly right. And what all I'm saying, Frank, is that bolstering your point is what individual states are doing to change their rules because they anticipate a Trump win.
Well, we'll see. Especially those states that he won by slim majorities. I'm wondering what the hell is going to go on there. And I don't know. After he's out of office for good, we have to walk. We have to keep moving as a people anyway. I mean, individuals have to keep up the pressure no matter what. Eventually, we're going to be in this fight without Donald Trump no matter what.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And here's the thing. There are people coming out like, okay, for example, there are people coming out now and saying, maybe these people were right about this whole Pizzagate thing. Not Pizzagate like they said or they created it to be, but the fact that there are elite people in this world running pedophile rings for shits and giggles amongst themselves. And they're starting to say, wait a second, you know, Google was censoring all this stuff. They don't want us to see it. Why not? Like, why not? You understand where I'm going with this? People are starting to say, but this was something that was talked about for years. And these people were all called conspiracy theorists, but it's right in front of our face. Now we're seeing it. And then the media is talking about it as though it's like, you know, something new. Like they're talking about things that we were saying 3 years ago and being completely slandered across the internet for.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they're talking about it, forgetting or pretending or gaslighting people into forgetting about the 3 years worth of detrimental report. Like they've attacked people, myself included, for talking about this. They have tried to destroy people's reputations for speaking about this. And now they're just pretending as though it never happened because it's out in the mainstream now. What else is going to come out in the mainstream?
I don't know.
You know, Frank, we talk about the Seth Rich stuff using legitimate documents and text messages and things and clips and videos of things that actually happen. And what happens to us? Michael Isikoff you know, writes articles about how we're all crazy. It's a bizarro world. It's a bizarro world out there. It really is.
Well, not for nothing. Not for nothing. But just today, I sent this to myself from the Associated Press. A flurry of suits emerge as New York opens the door to old abuse claims. The Catholic Church, the Boy Scouts, and public school districts are among the targets of lawsuits to be filed as New York temporarily opens a window for civil molestation suits that have been barred by the state's statute of limitations. But we're supposed to say, but this is all a conspiracy.
Mm.
That call it a conspiracy that pedophilia has been the underlying basis through which the world has kind of like held itself together in many ways, whether it be just because this is a cycle of abusers and the abused becoming the abusers, generational perversions, or if it is blackmail.
Mm.
Or if it is just a way to gain leverage, a filthy way to gain leverage over somebody. It's one thing to hold somebody's gambling debts or some kind of a vice over their head to make them vote one way or another on a bill or something else. It's another thing to go and destroy and harvest the lives of children to be able to gain political and geopolitical leverage over people. And this is exactly what we're seeing open up tonight. On my show, I had Dave Janda on in the first half, but in the second half, I wanted to bring up the Dutroux case in Belgium in the 90s, when it pretty much hundreds of thousands of people took to the streets and almost completely overthrew the government because of the satanic pedophilic stuff that they realized was going on with some of their government officials. South Korea had to get rid of a president not too long ago, who was in league with cultists. Everybody was outraged when they heard about that. Not only that, can we never, ever forget that NXIVM, we have concrete proof.
Yeah.
Found guilty on all accounts that there was Hollywood sex cult that owned 11 daycares around the world. And they're found guilty of human trafficking.
Look, I was on Lars Larson's show last night, and they asked me if there was ever anybody that had been held accountable for any of this. Or, oh no, that was a different show. My bad, not Lars. But they asked, like, has anybody ever seen the inside of a jail cell? And I said, yes, the folks in the NXIVM trial. That's the first arrests and convictions that we've had in this grand scheme of, quote, conspiracy theorist charges that have come down. And I think that was the beginning of the end, at least for this sort of a thing, which ties into everything else.
Oh, yeah.
We got a conviction. That's huge.
We got a conviction. And we got a premature execution with Epstein.
Yeah, but like I'm listening to Fox Tucker's show. Someone was filling in for him and I'm listening and they have someone on talking about the Clintons. It was just, I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is like literally what we've been saying, and it's now on the television. And I feel like, you know, why didn't these people have the guts and the cojones to step up and say this stuff when it wasn't easy, when we were doing it? Not that I'm glad it's being talked about, don't get me wrong, but I'm also very cognizant of the fact that they will manipulate this to be in their favor. But as the wheels come off and this stuff starts coming out, and we actually, like, basically what this woman was saying is that we're starting to see that all of the people that were willing to cover this stuff up, the people, like you said earlier, that the infrastructure is being removed. So the sort of brazen impunity that these folks operated under is now gone. Their support mechanism is not in place inside the government anymore to cover up all of their actions. It's being decimated. And she was basically talking about that's why everybody flipped out when Trump won the presidency, because they knew he was going to come in and they knew he wasn't a part of their inner circles, and he doesn't have blackmail and compromise on him. He wasn't controllable, and he was going to roll up their protection system. And this is being spoken about on Tucker Carlson's fill-in show on Fox News. Doesn't that sound like what we've been talking about for years?
Oh, yeah. And I would love to see Fox News go the way of the dodo, just like everybody else, too.
It needs to, because, you know, there's a few people I like on there, and they just keep on getting picked off one by one, and it's the same nonsense. They are the same part of the same machine. You can go there and feel like you're at least getting a semi, you know, unbiased view of things, but they're no better. They're no better. There's a few good people and that's it. Now, if I ever had the opportunity to go on one of these shows and say some truth, I would take it in a heartbeat. But that's only to get people to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. I like where I'm at.
I want to reach more people, Frank. I need this.
I would love to as well.
I want people, you know, we're one of you. We're one of them. Like we're normal people. Like, I don't know about you. You're not so normal. But
I'm not normal at all.
No. I mean, you're playing silent drums, for God's sakes. Who does that?
Don't you ever call me normal again.
I didn't. I said you weren't normal.
Good. No, you almost slipped up at first. I'm not going to have any of that.
So these, well, like we're everyday Americans, you know, walking around like everybody else with families, and we care about this. This is our damn country. This is why we're doing this. If I'm good at it, which I happen to think I am, I want more people to see it. Not me. That's why I never show. First of all, I want people to see this information. I want more people to know what the hell is going on around them every day. And if I can help in any way, I want my megaphone to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Until then, there's 100 of us with those huge like megaphones doing the same thing. So that then that spreads. And then it's everybody. And then maybe, just maybe, we can get this back to where it was supposed to be in the first place. Maybe. Maybe. But yep. You're going to have to come out of your basement.
Indeed. You got to go to your town halls again.
You know, you personally.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I'm in my town hall every night.
Yeah, but you know, I got to work on you.
Why?
Because.
I'm not.
What's that movie where she walks down the stairs backwards? What's that movie?
The Exorcist?
No.
What?
The movie where she goes on like in a back bend and she walks and she has the long hair. It's like a Chinese film. What is it? She makes that sound.
The Ring?
Yes.
I don't know. I think I'm where I'm supposed to be, right? Aren't?
Yeah. I guess.
I mean, you're a five tool player. I mean, you are on the internet, you are writing, you are also into public appearances and public speaking. So you do a whole bunch of things. I like the writing and I like the broadcasting, but when I go to public, I want to either be on the drums or I just want to be, I don't know. I want to be incognito. Just observing everybody.
Well, just imagine if, you know, you're very passionate about your local stuff, right? And we talk about it a lot. But imagine if you took a step and said, guys, it's time to get together. Let's do this locally.
Well, yeah. But locally, like I said, I don't have a lot over here. I mean, when you talk about the things, when we all talk about what has to happen, I feel like my biggest role is to encourage people who are in parts of the country and the world who actually have a better shot. Because in our system, I'm still relegated to the whims of people like Chuck Schumer, Kirsten Gillibrand, or in my district, Nita Lowey, who is a 30-year-plus incumbent who has never been even reasonably challenged by anybody else. And there's nothing around me that is even close. So nothing that I do will ever change how they're going to vote. I mean, I still vote. I'm going to get that guy, Antoine Tucker, on the show soon. He's the guy, he's the black Republican from the 14th district that's going up against AOC. That's going to be great. He's awesome. That guy's no holds barred. That would be awesome if he could just smack that election in the face.
I have experienced some things with him, and I will, because you are, I will just keep my mouth shut.
What? Okay.
You know, he came after, I mean, I shouldn't say this. Never mind.
Well, either
he
just, way.
He wasn't very kind to a very, very good friend of mine, and it was really bad. And you don't change from that, just saying. So.
I understand.
But I mean, I think you should have him on. I saw what he said in that, like, he was in a hallway talking to some people that came out, and he was pretty he was raw, and he got them. You know, he's a good advocate for folks that are in that same position as he's in, which is a lot of people in that district. So,
well,
I hope that I hope that you do have him on.
No, all I'm saying is that I'm in a position, and I think a lot of people are out there too, depending on what state and what districts you're in, where you almost feel like the best bet you can do is to help encourage people in places where if they actually do band together, because there's not a lot of people I can band around me over here, they can actually make changes elsewhere. So who knows? I think
everybody plays their part.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm talking about.
But I just want people to understand how important this is and how much we, you know, everybody needs to band together, because the only way this is going to change is if we you can't give up. You just can't. This isn't something worth giving up over. You know, if something doesn't go our way, we can't give up on it. We have to keep fighting. Like, giving up and throwing your hands up is what got us here in the first place. Just
saying. So, that is that.
Well, let's end it here. The Comey IG report, as per John Solomon, is probably coming out tomorrow.
So we'll have that talk about on Friday then.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, and for a show where I wasn't as grounded as I normally am, we did a pretty good job.
This is great. I can't wait to go read the Veritas stuff more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a very special guest author being published probably sometime today on Uncover DC 2, and you'll see who it is when I publish.
Oh, I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I can't wait.
And everyone go sign up. Are you signed up, Frank?
Yes.
Cool. Would you tell me if you weren't signed up?
Well, you would know.
Well, I would have to go in and look through the list to find you.
Yeah, I'm signed up through the quitefranklypodcast@gmail.com account.
Woohoo! I got a good email too yesterday. I get a lot of emails from you guys and I love reading them, and I respond to literally as many as I possibly can, which is like, I would say 99% of them. And you know what? I'm getting a present today. Let me just tell people about it because I'm so excited. So, you know, I listen to the Bongino podcast every day, right?
Yes.
And, you know, I agree with it majority of the time, and sometimes I don't. But he has some really interesting sponsors on his show. And a good friend of mine heard me talking about one sponsor that I really liked that I was looking at their website. It's called Boosted. Did you ever hear of them?
No, I was waiting for you to say more.
I'm just asking because a lot of people have. So Boosted makes, like, electric battery-powered skateboards and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, really cool. And Dan Bongino had an ad from them, and they were coming out with this scooter called the Boosted. Let me just see if I can find it. Hold on. And I would, you know, I would not normally buy something like this, but I was like obsessed with it. It's called the Boosted scooter. It's made for like people who live in the city that like don't want to take their car. It goes like 25 miles per hour, and it runs for like 20 something hours on its battery, and you can drive it to work. So you don't have to get stuck in traffic. It's called the Boosted Rev. Somebody bought it and it's coming to me today.
So you're going to be just scooting around then?
Yeah. I'm actually really excited to play with it.
You know, it's been so long since I've been on a skateboard. I used to skateboard a lot. But I would never go on a motorized skateboard.
These things are so cool. Like, I mean, I can't even imagine standing on this thing driving 20 miles an hour on it. That's fast.
I have one of those Segways.
You do?
Not the one with the handles on it, but the ones, just the regular old ones that you can stand the hoverboard Segways.
No way.
Yeah, they sent it to Anthony when they did a little bit. I forgot, they sponsored one of his 10-second song videos maybe a year or two ago. We got one at the studio. Every once in a while I zip through the hallways of the studio with it.
That is so much fun.
Hell yeah, it is.
Listen, you know, I can't even get off a bleacher correctly. So,
we have insurance. So, but I get nervous when people are like, can I try?
I know.
Listen, if I break my leg, it's one thing.
I would have asked you if I could. I can't balance. I wouldn't have done that. But this thing, I've got handlebars I can hold on to, and I hope that I make it through alive. We'll just put it that way.
You'll be all right.
So you've been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the silent drums. I forgot what the other two words I said.
Damn
at the
it.
End
with.
Oh, yes. Right. Wait. Yes.
Envy. Yeah. I love you. I swear it's too bad. Okay. You can listen to us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, and on radioinfluence.com. And thank you guys for hanging out with us for an hour. We'll talk to you soon.
Later.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, radio personalities like Ian Beckles and DJ Eakin, news and political pundits like Vincent Hill, and independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.